that has to do with what they call Pride Month. And we will deal with it and the ramifications of it, maybe even the history behind it. But Lord, just pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Psalm 38. And again, I'm amazed because we've done the first 37 Psalms. We're in Psalm 38. And the message this morning, the message tonight, both of them really hone in on topics that are apropos, you know, for me and for us and for society now. And so let's read Psalm 38. And I want you to think about it as we're reading it. How I mentioned this morning that this psalm in the first 11 verses really seems to align itself with sins that are, or the ramifications of homosexuality. I've got some stuff here, and I have quite a bit on AIDS. This is Rock Hudson. He was the first star to come out. He didn't come out. He was forced to come out. He went to Paris twice for treatments. He'd been a long time homosexual, but they hid it. In fact, they threw two other people under the bus when somebody said they were going to write an article, and instead of writing the article on Rock Hudson, the guy that was their manager, or was Rock Hudson's manager, gave two other names to the press, and they outed them and destroyed their lives. So just, you know, good clean stuff there. And then Rock Hudson, and again, he's just one name, but I read about him in 1985, and I kept the material because I figured they'd rewrite history. I just read that there's a book that came out that said he had written anonymous letters to four of his ex-lovers telling them that, you know, they may have been exposed to AIDS. Well, you know, 20 years after your death, that's pretty easy to claim that he was a great upstanding man. He never let anybody know that he had AIDS. I mean, he lied and lied and lied. And in addition to the homosexuality. And I'm using that word just because it's well known. But verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me like an acute pain, sharp acute pain, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. So notice this is a result of sin. The bloodstream gets infected, and then it goes into the bone marrow in these cases. Verse 4, for mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness, like a discharge. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. There's a lot of pain in these diseases. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth like heart palpitations. My strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. A lot of these, you know, gonorrhea and syphilis and that cause blindness. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. You look at what happens with the AIDS epidemic, and, you know, they put a lot of research into it because it's a political disease. Generally something that contagious and that deadly. Those that have it would be quarantined. The places that are known to spread it would be shut down. But that didn't happen with this. You see, God judges violations of the marriage bed. What Pride Month does is it's asking for us to sanction behavior which God condemns. That's it. God condemns the behavior, and Pride Month is saying you must sanction it. When you go into a store, and I have not seen it. I don't guess I go into any stores. I went in Sam's. I didn't see anything there. I don't know that I've been in another store in the past, since May. And that was Sam's probably just once. I didn't see anything in there, but hopefully they won't do it. And if they do, I probably would say something. Because I'm tired of this. This is, if you want to have your inappropriate pride, then have it. Don't steal my rainbow that God gave us, as a promise not to judge the earth for the sheer wickedness that God judged. That's what He did. So, June is Pride Month. They get a whole month. So I guess what I'll do is I'll start with an article or a Facebook post. I saw Cracker Barrel now has rainbow rocking chairs, at least in some of them. And whoever's running the Cracker Barrel Facebook site is responding back. Not to mine, but to others that are positive. But I wrote them a couple days ago, and some of you saw it because I saw that you mentioned. I don't know how it works where you can see it. I'm writing to express my concerns about your decision, this is to Cracker Barrel, to celebrate Pride Month. As a longtime customer who respected your commitment to family values, I'm very troubled by this change. Now, I'd have done the same thing with Budweiser, but they wouldn't have felt it. You know what I mean? As you are aware, many in our community hold strong biblical beliefs that regard homosexuality as a sin. This belief stems from deeply held religious convictions, not from any form of hate or bigotry. We understand the rights of all individuals to live their lives as they see fit. But we also ask that our beliefs be respected in return. Cracker Barrel has always been a place where families and communities can come together irrespective of their personal beliefs or backgrounds. The celebration of Pride Month to some seems like a departure from that inclusive philosophy. You know, when they celebrate pride, they're really excluding me. It is undeniably problematic to witness a month-long celebration for pride in a God-condemned action, while crucial pillars of our society, such as mothers, fathers, veterans, and those who've made the ultimate sacrifice, are relegated to a single day's acknowledgement. These individuals embody the strength, resilience, and sacrifices that underpin the very foundation of our communities, nation, and way of life. As such, it's disconcerting that we are told to dedicate the month of June for public commemoration of sodomy. Does this inequity reflect the true value we as society place on parenthood and military service? Is our societal honor correctly proportioned? A month for them and a day for somebody that gave his life for this country? This discrepancy between single day of recognition versus an entire month is glaring. It's high time we consider our calendar of observances to truly reflect the diversity of contributions that shape our world. We would appreciate it if you could reconsider your decision, continue to uphold the tradition of being a safe haven for all customers, regardless of their personal beliefs or backgrounds. I look forward to hearing from you soon. I doubt that. Listen, I think I'm to the point in my life where, and I've been outspoken in at times. I guess I'm just getting to the point where this in-your-face mentality for God-condemned lifestyles just can't be. You can't turn a blind eye anymore. That's the problem. You know, I'll tell you what's happened with Budweiser. They went after a man's beer. That's what they did. And listen, the reason they're doing it is ESG. So environment, something. But what is it? But ESG What it is in order to get a loan, you must have a high ESG score. And that means that you must have somebody on staff that handles these, like the Budweiser vice president, like, you know, Disney World, like probably like Cracker Barrel. They now have hired somebody to come in and to handle these matters. So now they've given them the Facebook page. And they're not as, they know that we're going to wear out before they do, because Cracker Barrel's done the same thing. And I didn't bring my response to Cracker Barrel in, but they're doing the same thing. And it's because of, like, BlackRock Investments. They come in and they say, you must have a plan, like, to recognize Pride Month. And if you don't, we'll lower your score. If we lower your score, it'll cost you more money to get to borrow. And it's manipulation. It's using their power to force the companies to submit no matter what it costs. And then what Budweiser did, I think they flipped the other way, and now it's cost them on both sides. I think Target's done the same thing. Target said, well, we moved it in the back. And what they said was people were threatening the employees. You want to use that as your excuse, go ahead, just move it. But that's what they've said, is that people were being threatened. So they moved all that merchandise in the back and took some of it out. You don't need children's clothing for trans kids. It shouldn't even exist. I mean, why does it exist? There is no child that should have the concept of I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. They should not even have that concept, period. You know, and it's instilled in them by adults. Pervs. Genesis 2:24 says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. That's God ordained. Ephesians 5:31 says he'll be joined unto his wife and they'll be one flesh. That is the design of God, that a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife and they too become one flesh. That's what God decided. But many years ago, I think it's in the 1980s, the Metropolitan Community Church by Troy Perry was started in his home. And then he... Now it's a huge organization, but they have polluted many things with their teachings. This is not prejudice. What I'm preaching about, what I'm saying, not a bit of it's prejudice. Prejudice means to prejudge. I haven't prejudged anything. I have a biblical stand, a biblical teaching of which I take a stand on, and that stand is not prejudging. It's not prejudice. It is saying this is what the Bible says, and it's not arbitrary. Leviticus 18 says, thou, men, shall not lay with mankind, and if you do, you'll defile the land. Why is America becoming defiled? It's becoming defiled because of what we're allowing, what we're condoning, and how now we have to accept it. I do not have to accept Pride Month. Now, you push it in my face like they're doing. You take Target and you put it in the front. When people come in, everybody sees it. Put it back in the closet. Why do you have to give them a month and then give them the prime location in your store? You say, well, it's because, you know, we can make more money. Well, just ask Target, what $9 billion they lost. Tell me how that works. Put the woman on, put the it on your Budweiser can and tell me how much. It's not about money. It's not about marketing. It's not about good corporate fiduciary responsibility. It's all about forcing this down your throat so that you have to accept it. And that's where they cross the line. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. What saith the Scriptures? That's the key. Hebrews 13, look at verse 4. It is not my opinion that matters. It's not your opinion. Hebrews 13, 4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 9. And you could go through a lot of other verses here, but we'll just... it is not 9. It is something else. 18. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man committeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That is, fornication is sin outside the marriage bond. Flee fornication. It is verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Nobody that's effeminate or abuser of themselves with mankind, the Bible says. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily is absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So here's Rock Hudson. This is Newsweek, August 5th, 1985. Age strikes a star. Until Rock Hudson, you didn't have Magic Johnson and Liberace and all these others. Rock Hudson was one of the first ones. But it was confirmed that Hudson had flown to a French capital, to the French capital to seek an experimental treatment for AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, the lethal disease associated mainly with homosexuals. And I had a lot of other stuff on AIDS. I didn't bring it. I did read over it today. Remember that this wasn't always AIDS. AIDS sounds good. It was GRIDS. GRIDS, you see, if you control the language, you control people's mindsets. You know what GRIDS is? Gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. That's what it was first called before 1985. In 1984, it was GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency. But then, what did that mean? Oh my goodness, well, you're not going to be able to raise billions of dollars if it's associated with homosexuality. So what they'll do, and I don't know that I have it here, and I don't, there was a young boy that got a transfusion and he got AIDS. I remember when I gave blood up until recently, now recently they say, have you had a prostitute or been with, you know, male with male in the last 90 days? That's the question now. You know what the question used to be? Since 1978, 79. Have you been, those questions went all the way back over four decades. And now it just asks you if it's just been in the last 3 months. Why do they ask you over four decades? I don't know. They know. But see, all that's changed because of politics. Politics. It goes on and it says, he went to the Pasteur Institute, the following story. Hudson did not even tell his doctors in the American hospital that he had the disease. So here were the doctors in America. They didn't even know because he'd been living a lie the whole time. When Collart, that's his person he knows, finally told reporters it was age, she added that Hudson was now totally cured, though she later claimed that that was a mischaracterization and that he had no idea how he had contracted the virus to begin with. I read somewhere, and I looked for it, and I couldn't find it, where he was going up and down the high, there's that main highway along the water, and he was infecting people. He was a piranha, according to, in 1985. All of that's been whitewashed to where now he is a hero for coming out and being the one that's raised so much money for the AIDS epidemic. A press agent assured reporters that Hudson was merely getting over a siege of the flu. But a few days later, the actor flew to Paris, his second trip there for AIDS treatment in the last 6 months. According to Malley, who says the actor's lifestyle was an open but protected secret in the film Colony for years. And you know what? He infected many, 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 many people. Friends say he was a heavy smoker who occasionally went on drinking binges, but no breath of scandal touched him despite his sometimes careless escapades. With an entourage that often included Malley and the writer Armistead Maupin, he often visited San Francisco, dropping in the city's popular gay discos. He was seldom recognized, even when he seemed at ease, said Malley, who remembers being surprised when the actor signed his own name to get into a private club. He says, "You're sure you want to do that?" asked Malley. He says, "Why not?" Hudson shrugged. Because the lie was being protected. This thing about the press, it's always been like that. They are going to lie to you and lie to you and lie to you and lie to you again. And it does not matter if it's politically acceptable to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to lie. So here you go. Malley, according to Malley, Hudson survived one near catastrophe when Confidential, that's a muck-mongering gossip magazine of the 1950s, threatened an expose, and his studio instead traded off some dirt about a lesser young screen hopeful. Not long afterward, Hudson married Phyllis Gates, a former stewardess who was then Agent Wilson's secretary. They separated after less than 2 years. The studio arranged the whole thing, the wedding, the publicity, even the honeymoon. Lie, 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 lie. And they want to look at us and say, "You're bad because you're a bigot." It's not bigotry. I want my children, my grandchildren, protected from this type of thing and more. So there was already indications that the forced exposure of his illness may be having some helpful results. Forced exposure. So keep that in mind. If you ever, and I did read it. I don't know why I didn't keep it. I think at that time I really wasn't keeping the articles so much. But I read that they were making Rock Hudson a hero for coming out. He went to Paris twice and he was emaciated. You could look at him and know. In Hollywood, they had this thing that when you look like Rock Hudson or some of those others, they knew you had gotten AIDS and you had nothing you could keep in. So here's another article. It's called Rock Hudson, Legacy of Hope. The initial reaction of Hudson's press agent was to attribute his condition to exhaustion and the flu. Lie. Probably this was not intended to be taken literally by Hollywood insiders who are used to interpreting terms like exhaustion to mean, "Sorry, he was so drunk, if the public believed it, so much the better." This is Hollywood who's been feeding cesspool stuff to us for a long time. Hudson was, after all, the lifelong beneficiary of a conspiracy to keep from the public the news that he was gay, a conspiracy that included arranging a marriage, being short and unhappy to his agent's secretary. I mean, imagine that. The conspiracy was a part of Hollywood's system that valued Hudson less for his talent than his rugged good looks, his charms, and the plausibility as a lover. You know, when women saw him on television, the plausibility that, oh, I could have Rock Hudson, that is what they were selling to the public. He lived what he was, in effect, a public lie. Until the announcement of Paris, which, by what is left unsaid, implied, although it did not specify, that Hudson had caught the disease the way most men do. He says, well, I don't know how I got it. Gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. And you don't know how you got it? And he didn't tell anybody, although he did continue the lifestyle. If he's a hero, this article says, as some have suggested, it is partly for courageously admitting he had AIDS. That's what the article says. That's how it ends. Now, what I'm telling you, that insults me. In 1985, I was in Bible college. I finished 81 at Penn State. No, 81 in the Air Force, 84 at Penn State, 85 to 88 in Bible college. And, you know, it's just insulting that, you know, that we have a society that looks at that and says, hey, it's okay. Romans chapter 1 says that they change the truth of God into a lie, and then it condemns anybody that has pleasure in them that do them. So what does that mean? If you are watching shows and you watch it and you have pleasure in them that do them, you are as condemned as the person doing it. That's what the Bible says. So what do you do? Well, first of all, you got to give out the gospel. That's the most important thing. You don't look at this and say, well, I'm going to write because that's what I do. I'm going to express my understanding, my belief, my astonishment for allowing a disease to have political protection when if it was any other. It's like COVID. You got AIDS and you got COVID. Look at the two. And they went overboard with the one. And this one is protected because of the lifestyle that it protects. This is the way we're heading in this country and around the world. And America's leading the way. As goes America, so goes the world. And we're going to be held accountable. If I don't stand up and say something, I'm accountable. So I will speak out. You know me. I've spoken up. These things are recorded. They go out. People see them. I want to influence people. I want people to know that the Bible says this. And if you look at Psalm 38 and you go through there, he says, because of my sin, because of my foolishness. He goes on and he talks about those things. And it's very clear that there's something going on here that we, you know, that you can attribute to some type of disease. Look at verse 16, back to Psalm 38. Let me just finish up the last few verses. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sin. By the way, that is the solution. Pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride month. Pride cometh before destruction. That's where we are. Verse 19, but mine enemies are lively, and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. I actually went through Psalm 38 probably about 50 times on Saturday and just saturate myself with it. That's what I told you I did with Revelation. Of course, I only went through Revelation 8 times during that period. We were going from Atlanta down to Fort Lauderdale, but easier to do 50 times on Psalm 38. But it just speaks to you. The Bible should speak to you. It should tell you, look, what's the problem with what we're looking at here? The Bible says, I will be sorry for my sin. That's what I want to lead you on. Anybody saying, hey, get the rainbow flag out. It's Pride Month. Pride in what? Sin. I will be sorry for my sin. That's what God says. That's how you get a correct relationship with God. And if somebody, you know, there was somebody that said, hey, you know, I got friends that are homosexual. Shame on you. Friends. Not acquaintances. Friends. What I'm telling you is choose your friends carefully. And you say, well, I know some really good people, some really nice people. And boy, homosexuals are so, you know, the men are so kind and thoughtful. And they're just not a threat to you. Well, first of all, they are a threat to you. If I went in and I started talking about pedophilia, I read some statistics on it this morning. That's from the 1980s. Well, no, I'm sorry. The statistics from the 1980s are true. They'll lie today. But they look at it and they had one guy they'd arrested. He had 5,000 pictures of children. And they said, conservatively, if it's five of each child, that's 1,000 different children. The numbers are astronomical what one person can do to harm many children. You know what I say? It's inexcusable. Bible says if you offend one of these little ones, it'd be better that you were never born. It'd be better if you had a millstone around your neck and thrown in the water. Now, I'm not telling you to put a millstone around anybody's neck, throw them in the water. I don't believe that. I believe you pray for them, you give them the truth, you try to help them, but you do not have to accept their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is between them and them. I wouldn't even say them and God, although you could say that. I don't have to accept it. Pride Month, maybe I'll just avoid all the stores because I don't have to go to a store. You know, I don't have to. But if I go into a store and I see it, I don't know. Maybe I need to go into a store and just say, hey, this is wrong. Or Cracker Barrel. And, you know, you don't have to make a scene. Just go in there and say, hey, I was going to come in here. Now, here's what I'll tell you I'll do. If I drive up, because we ate at Cracker Barrel 2-3 weeks ago in Pensacola on Wednesday when we were there. They weren't out there. If they were there, and maybe we need to go to Cracker Barrel, and if they're there, I'm going to go in and I'm going to complain. Not because I'm a bigot, not because I'm hateful, but because there is no excuse that they need to put that out there during what they call Pride Month, because I am a customer also. And I've been a longer, more faithful customer, loyal customer for them than most other people, and you have too. So I'm saying just do it right. Don't get upset with them. Just go in and express your disgust. I will tell you this, if you go on the Facebook page, and you'll see the rocking chair if you get there, Cracker Barrel something. It's bad. It's bad. I mean, they're vocal, they're loud, and because of that, they have a lot of control. And there's a lot of money in this thing. One of the largest fundraising groups is a group with gay pride. Just keep your head up. Keep looking for Jesus because He's coming back. That's for sure. And don't be hateful. You know, if you go into a store and it's there, just express your dislike for it. Are you going to be able to boycott everything? I don't think so. This ESG is taking over. Now, I'll write on it. I don't go to Target. You know, I don't drink Budweiser. Cracker Barrel, that's a tougher one. Chick-fil-A, that's a tougher one. But I will tell you that it's going to be where you can't go anywhere. Because they are forcing these companies to do that which is against what they would normally do with their corporate fiduciary responsibility. They're forcing them to do that. But it's cost a couple of companies up here at the beginning. I'm glad that, you know, Budweiser's biting the dust. That's a cool thing. I was in Sam's the other day. I walked down the beer aisle, I chose to walk down the beer aisle because it dawned. I guess I saw this guy and it said Bush Light, but I read it as Bud Light. And, you know, my temptation was to say something, but I'm not going to do that. You're not going to confront people. But I looked again. I go, oh, that's Bush Light. And the, it wasn't even blue, but I didn't know. Maybe they changed. They probably ought to change the color. And I walked down the aisle and there's all this Bud Light in there. And the other ones aren't near as much. And I looked at the price just to see if they dropped the price. But, you know, I heard, and somebody might have told me, it might have been you can buy, and I'm not suggesting you do this, you can buy a six-pack case, whatever they sell it in, a Bud Light, and then they'll give you that much money back. It's basically they're giving it away. Isn't that something? I'm like, well, looks like it worked once. You don't mess with a man's beer. I guess that's what it boils down to. All right, let's all stand together. Yes, Bill. Temporary or? Really? Yeah, Pensacola is very, very liberal. I mean, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we're up there every Wednesday now. You can tell it's a different environment. Although where Heather works, it's good. Yeah. That's interesting. I'll have to look at that, Bill, because, you know, what needs to happen is it's the city council and the mayor, you know. What needs to happen is the people need to get, you know, if you got to get in the city council, it's not as hard as you think because the voter, if you get the voters behind you, like if you go to a 2,000 person church, mega church, and you're running for office and they all vote for you, you're probably in. One church can move a whole thing. So what I'm saying is shame on Pensacola because they ought to be able to fix that. But nobody has any guts to do any of that anymore. I'm going to check that out. Thank you, Bill. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for many blessings. Guide, lead, and direct in all things. We just pray, Lord, that we would truly love others like we should. In Jesus' name. Head bowed and eyes closed.